Welcome to Witch Hunt, the podcast that investigates the mysteries of the witch trials. I'm Josh Hutchinson.
And I'm Sarah Jack. We are both descendants of persons accused of witchcraft in New England.
In an intriguing case in 1679 and 1680, my 10th great-grandaunt, Elizabeth Morse of Newbury, found herself accused of witchcraft, following a series of poltergeist-like events in her home. The trouble began sometime after William and Elizabeth Morse took in their grandson, John Stiles.
First, William Morse said sticks and stones were thrown at his house. The Morses went outside to look and saw nobody, yet stones were still hurled at them, and they retreated inside and locked the door. Later that night, a hog appeared in the house, despite the door being locked.
The next day, some things hanging in the chimney crashed down into the fire, and an awl disappeared only to come down the chimney. William put the awl away in a cupboard and closed the door, but the awl kept coming down the chimney again and again, three or four times. Then the same thing happened with a basket.
Things just continued to disappear and then come down the chimney. Caleb Powell, a seaman, visited often, and he said he would take the boy for a time and see what happened. Elizabeth Titcomb said Caleb Powell said if he had another scholar with him, he could find whoever was bewitching the Morse house.
Stephen Greenleaf and Edward Richardson affirmed seeing the strange motion.
John Tucker said Caleb Powell said John Stiles threw a shoe.
John Emerson said Caleb Powell had boasted about being trained in the black art by someone named Norwood.
Caleb Powell told the Morses that John Stiles had done the mysterious things around the house.
Powell claimed skill in astrology, astronomy, and the working of spirits.
The Morses loaned John Stiles to Powell, and nothing happened for a time.
When John Stiles returned to the home, a great noise was heard in the other room, but nothing was seen there. And William Morse's cap almost came off his head.
There was a hit to William's head. His chair was pulled back as if to topple him.
And a cat was thrown at his wife, Elizabeth.
The cat was thrown about several times.
Once the poor cat was thrown on the bed, wrapped in a red waistcoat.
The lamp tipped over and all the oil spilled out.
Another great noise for a great while, described as being very dreadful.
And a stone moved on its own.
Two spoons flew off the table and the table was knocked over.
The inkhorn was hidden and the pen was taken.
William Morse's spectacles were thrown from the table.
And his account book thrown into the fire.
Boards came off a tub and stood upright.
John Badger said he was at Morse's house when Caleb Powell said he knew astrology and astronomy and could determine whether the diabolical means were used against the Morses.
Mary Tucker and Mary Richardson said Caleb Powell said he spied through the Morse's window and saw the boy play tricks.
Anthony Morse, brother of William Morse.
And Anthony being my ancestor and William my uncle.
Witnessed a brick disappear from his hands and fly down the chimney. Also, a hammer came down the chimney and a piece of wood and a firebrand, which happened around November 28th. This testimony was dated December 8th in 1679 by John Woodridge, the commissioner.
William Morse complained of Caleb Powell for working with the devil to disturb the Morses.
Caleb Powell appeared before John Woodridge on December 8th, and the magistrate agreed William Morse could prosecute the case at Ipswich County Court on the last Tuesday of March.
Sarah Hall and Joseph Merrick testified that John Morse, boatswain of the vessel where Caleb Powell was a mate, said that if there were any wizards, he was sure that Caleb Powell was a wizard. This testimony was dated February 27, 1680.
The court dismissed the case but declared Powell suspicious and ordered him to pay court costs.
Israel Webster said John Stiles said that he, John Stiles, was going to hell and could not read on Sundays because the devil didn't let him.
Thomas Titcomb said John Stiles, quote, used many foul words on Sabbath day, and when asked if he was going to meeting, he said he was going to hell.
Elizabeth Titcomb said there was a mysterious knocking at her door while she was sleeping. It knocked three times, but nobody responded when Elizabeth asked who was there. Lydia and Peniel Titcomb agreed.
Jonathan Woodman said 7 years ago he was going home when he saw a white cat, which did play at my legs. As he had no weapon, he only kicked the cat, which cried out and disappeared. He later learned that the Morrises had called for a doctor that same night to tend Elizabeth's head.
Benjamin Richardson testified about something weird happening at Morse's house.
David Wheeler talked about a heifer that came home with a chewed up back twice and got sick and started behaving strangely.
Joshua Richardson said he tried to stash his sheep in Morse's cowhouse one time when he was out working on getting the sheep across the river, but Elizabeth Morse chewed him out and he left. When he arrived at his destination, the sheep were all sick and foaming at the mouth.
Caleb Moody testified that he lost several livestock in an unusual manner over the 20 years he lived near the Morses.
And William Fanning described being attacked by a great white cat without a tail.
John McHill testified that a calf's skin fell off, replaced by something red, like a burn, before the animal's eyes bulged out of his head. A cow pooped out of its sight, and other animals met ill fates.
Robert Earle said that he visited Elizabeth Morse and heard a strange sucking sound, like a whelp feeding.
On March 6, 1680, the court ordered Constable Joseph Pike of Newbury to apprehend Elizabeth Morse and take her to the jail in Ipswich.
Esther Wilson testified that when her mother, Goodwife Chandler, was sick, she complained about Elizabeth Morse being a witch and nailed a horseshoe to the door to prevent witches from getting in. Morse would not come in while the horseshoe was on. Instead, she'd kneel by the door and talk with them from outside. William Moody came to the house of Goodwife Chandler and knocked the horseshoe off the door. Then Elizabeth Morse would come in until the horseshoe was nailed back up. Later, Moody knocked it off and took it away. Once again, Morse would enter the home. Goodwife Chandler began having visions of Elizabeth Morse and then experiencing fits. This testimony was dated May 17, 1680, and read in court on May 20th.
Elizabeth Titcomb said Susanna Tappan said Elizabeth Morse seized her by the wrist at court to ask what evidence Susanna would give in. That night, Susanna felt a cold, damp hand grab her wrist. She then became ill, feeling itchiness and pricking throughout her body, her skin dry and scaly. Since then, she has not been out of her house.
And Elizabeth Titcomb said she told Goodwife Morse about the evidence against her, and Morse was greatly affected and fell on weeping and said she was as innocent as herself or the child newborn or as God in heaven.
Lydia Titcomb claimed she and her siblings saw an owl turn into a cat, then a dog. This mystery animal was sometimes completely black. At other times, it had a white ring around its neck. Sometimes it had long ears. At other times, it had virtually no ears at all. Sometimes it had an extremely long tail. At other times, it had virtually no tail at all. This sounds like a riddle. The beast accompanied them home, scaring their socks off.
Susan Tappan did testify and said that Morse did indeed grab her by the wrist, but not in court. It was actually after a public meeting on a Sabbath day.
Thomas Knowlton said that when he was escorting her to jail, Elizabeth Morse said that she was as clear of the accusation as God in heaven.
John Chase, another possible relative of mine, said the day Caleb Powell had come to hear his testimony against Elizabeth Morse, he, John Chase, was taken with the bloody flux, which lingered until he spoke against Morse in court. Also, his wife had sore breasts that she had lost them both, and one of them rotted away from her.
Jane Sewell said that William Morris told her a story about his wife not being called for at first when Thomas Wells' wife was in labor. Due to some hesitancy by Thomas' sister, the woman suffered a long labor until finally Morris was sent for, at which point the baby came.
John March said that sometime around 1674, he was awakened by several cats and rats at play together. He flung several things at them, but could not strike them. The next morning, he heard Goodwife Wells call Elizabeth Morse a witch to her face. After Elizabeth left, Goodwife Wells told John March that Elizabeth had told her about the cats and rats, and Goodwife Wells wondered how Elizabeth could know they'd seen them. since nobody who saw them had left the house yet that morning.
According to John March, Goodwife Wells told him she'd often seen small creatures like mice or rats under Elizabeth Morse's coat. Daniel Thurston and Richard Woolsworth affirmed that they had also heard Goodwife Wells say such things.
James Brown, another Josh ancestor, testified that Elizabeth Morse said George Wheeler's vessel would not return from its voyage and that she told him in the morning of his misdemeanors the previous night. He asked her how she knew what he had done, and she said everyone knew. He replied that everyone knew she was a witch. She said, "Our Savior Christ was belied, and so is you and I."
David Wheeler testified that he had seen Elizabeth Morse, his next-door neighbor, do many strange things. And once he was supposed to do an errand for her and neglected to do it for several days while he was busy hunting geese. He was unsuccessful at getting a bird. Then Elizabeth Morse told him he wouldn't get any geese until after he finally performed the task. At last, he did what he had agreed to do, and then he was immediately successful hunting geese.
Margaret Merrick claimed that she had once concealed a private letter, and yet Elizabeth Morse came a few days later and recited everything in the letter, though she'd most likely never seen it as it was in hiding.
A calf belonging to Zachariah Davis mysteriously danced and roared after Zachariah failed to bring Elizabeth Morse some wings.
Gotta bring those wings, man.
Elizabeth was tried in May 1680.
And indicted on May 20th.
On May 22nd, Secretary Edward Rawson wrote that the court decided it was okay to admit the testimony of a single witness to a single event, if at least one other witness brought in similar testimony about another event only they witnessed.
Governor Simon Bradstreet pronounced the death sentence for Elizabeth on May 27th.
However, the governor and assistants reprieved her on June 1st. On June 4th, her husband, William, petitioned for better treatment for her in jail, such as liberty to walk the yard during the day and to sleep in the common jail rather than the dungeon.
On November 3rd, the deputies protested the court's decision not to execute Elizabeth.
According to John Hale, the governor and magistrates rejected the death sentence because they determined that seeing a specter of Elizabeth was not the same as actually seeing Elizabeth perform witchcraft.
They also determined that multiple witnesses to the same event were indeed necessary to admit the testimony as evidence.
In 1681, William wrote to the general court on May 14th and again on May 18th, contesting the testimony against his wife and pleading her innocent. And we are writing to the same general court today, asking for these accused witches to receive an apology from the state.
William Morse won the release of Elizabeth into his custody, and she was placed under a sort of house arrest. Thank you for listening to Witch Hunts. Visit witchhuntshow.com and sign up for our newsletter, Witch Hunt Wednesday.
Support our efforts to end witch hunts. Visit endwitchhunts.org to learn more.
Have a great today and a beautiful tomorrow.